Welcome to the Discover Mansfield podcast, featuring interviews with the town of Mansfield's business-friendly team, business leaders, entrepreneurs, and others offering an inside look with keen insight and awareness on how to do business and thrive in one of the most sought-out communities in the Commonwealth.
Welcome to our Discover Mansfield podcast. Joining us today is Angie LaPriere, Vice President and Lending Officer of the Southeastern Economic Development Corporation, also known as the SEED Corporation. SEED Corporation helps businesses retain existing jobs and works to ensure that Main Street businesses can recover and rebuild from economic hardship. The organization provides entrepreneurs with startup funding, and it can help businesses fast-track loans. It provides micro and small loans from $50,000 to $350,000, and it also administers SBA 504 loans for real estate or machinery and equipment loans up to $5.5 million. Angie, welcome to our Discover Mansfield podcast, and thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. You know, this subject of financing, especially for small businesses, is such an important topic. And it's our understanding that SEED started in 1982 and services small businesses in both Massachusetts and Rhode Island. Would you share with us the four main loan programs that your organization administers?
Of course. So we have a loan fund, term loans only for small businesses, ranging anywhere from a $1,000 microloan up to $50,000 under the SBA microloan program. And we also have small loan funds available, which can go up to $350,000 in Massachusetts and $500,000 in Rhode Island. So the small loan funds are provided with, you know, typically a 6 to 7% interest rate, depending if we have bank participation, and they can go up to a 10-year term with no prepayment penalty on any of the small loan and microloan programs. So it's a really great program for businesses who are either looking to start up or expand their business. And we typically do require actually having a bank decline or that the business owner just speaks with their bank that they have an existing relationship with before they come to SEED for the financing if they're looking for more than $20,000. Because where we stand in the market, we're really here to be a gap financer with either participating with a bank on those loan programs or providing financing when the bank cannot assist. That's really where we fit into the market and how we differ from the, you know, traditional banks or credit unions. We also administer the SBA 7A loan program, where we obtain a guarantee from SBA for some of our small loans, typically when there's a shortfall in collateral, which we can talk about, you know, a little bit further down the line on our requirements. But we also have the SBA 504 loan program, which is for the purchase of commercial real estate for the use and occupancy of the business. And for that program, we can actually go up on our piece up to $5.5 million. And it's a really great program allowing 90% financing for an existing business who's been in operation for 2 years or more, or up to 85% financing for a startup business with less than 2 years of financial history. So again, all term loans, typically here to help when the bank cannot help and work as a partner with them.
Yeah, those are really great programs. And I'm sure that small businesses really love the fact that your organization exists to help them, especially if they're having a little bit of difficulty for whatever reason from their current banks or whether there's a need that they have for the gap loans. Do you have any recent success stories regarding businesses that you could share with our listeners to get a sense as to some of your recent projects?
I do. Sure. So because we have such a variety, you know, sometimes the loans are as small as $7,000, you know, and typically, you know, we're looking at loans in the $50,000 to $75,000 range. But a couple of stories that I have, I actually financed In 2018, there was a startup smoothie and acai bowl business located in Buzzards Bay. The business had no financial history. Husband and wife were looking to start up the business, and they unfortunately could not get financing from their bank. So their bank connected them with Seed, and we provided them with a $50,000 working capital loan, as well as for furniture, fixtures, and equipment to get the business up and running. And they have been very successful. They actually were able to expand to a second location since opening. And so they have a location now in Buzzards Bay and Falmouth, and they're doing really great. So that's a great success story for a pure startup with no financial history. And then we also, another example of a loan would be a business that provided gluten-free and vegan energy bites. So this loan was made to a business that was existing, but they were really looking to expand their business. And for them, we provided a loan of around $63,000. And we had to get an SBA guarantee for this loan. So it fell under our small loan program, a little bit larger than a microloan, but we had that lack of collateral. So we got a guarantee from SBA, and we provided them financing to expand their business. They provide retail on their website. You can purchase it through Amazon. They also wholesale through Whole Foods and Roche Brothers, local coffee shops and smaller markets, the Big Y, Dave's Marketplace, and various other local markets and stores or coffee shops. So it's a really great success story. And, you know, this woman that we assisted, she really just started making energy bites in her office when she was in the corporate world, trying to have a healthy snack throughout the day. And that's really what turned her into getting her business up and running, which was self-funded to begin with.
Wow, those are wonderful stories. And I'm sure you have so many more over the years that your organization has helped so many businesses all over the state of Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And for those entrepreneurs listening right now, I'm sure they would be very interested in learning how a small business becomes a suitable candidate for receiving seed funding. So can you talk a little bit about that? So someone's listening and they say, well, how do I know if my business is a suitable candidate? What would you say to them?
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, for a lot of businesses who haven't gone through the loan process, it's a learning curve, right? So it's a matter of surrounding yourself with the right resources and advisors on, you know, whether it be your CPA, an attorney for your business, local resources through SBA, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But there's so many resources available. So educating yourself on, you know, what is seed looking for, what is a bank looking for? And the best way to do that, because every situation is so unique, although we do have our own requirements and guidelines, every lending institution has their own comfort level and certain items they're looking for. But calling your local bank, you know, that's really going to be the first place that you start, the bank or credit union you have a relationship with, and talking and finding a lender that can help walk you through the process, talk about your situation, and explain to you what we would be looking for as a lender so you can understand that and prepare for it if you're not really right at that level to be able to apply for financing. But ultimately, the big thing for a lender is, you know, knowing when you go into your conversation with them, you know, how much do you need for financing and what you need that money for to be able to make a case to them and explain to them how it will help your business or help your business get off the ground.
Yeah, that's really informative. And so you really answered. I was going to ask you another question, which was how would a small business owner go about getting seed funding from your organization? But clearly, I think you've answered that by going to your bank or your local credit union who you have a relationship with. Is there anything else that you can think of that would be helpful to those small business owners or entrepreneurs with regards to getting seed funding from your organization? Or do you think that those are the most important steps to go to your local bank that you have a relationship with first?
I would definitely start there, you know, mainly because, you know, the banks have a variety of products that can assist you. So they're long-term, that's the relationship that you want to have. And our goal is to make businesses bankable. So always start there. And even if you can't get a loan from them, they're going to be the ones that are working with you on your checking and savings accounts. And you know, other services down the line. So that relationship is still so important, even if they cannot provide you with a loan. You know, our hope is that the local bank or credit union knows about Seed and would refer you over to us. But we also are trying to educate the business owners, you know, directly to let them know that we're here and the chance that their bank doesn't know about us or does not refer them over. You know, helpful, the conversation is helpful, but also we on our website, we have a getting started link that will allow the business owner to submit an online inquiry form, which then gets emailed to our lending team. And that will trigger one of our lenders to reach out and have a set up a conference call to have a conversation to discuss specifically what your financing needs are and what Seed would be looking for to determine if it sounds like a good fit to move forward. So that's really helpful.
Yeah, that sounds very helpful. And just so that our listeners know what that website address is, would you share that with them so that we can at least get that out there? And if they're interested in going to the website and looking at that form after the podcast, they can do that.
Yes. So our website is www.seedcorp.com. That's SEEDCORP.com. And when you go out to corp.com in the top bar, get started will be right there. And you just click on that and it brings you right to the form. You can complete the form. There's some fields to fill out and then you'll just submit it. And that's when it gets emailed to our lending team.
That's terrific. So first stop is really your bank, your financial institution that you have a relationship with. And but if you want to take that step first and alert one of your lending officers that you're interested to go to that website, fill out the form, and then you're almost doing both of those things in tandem, which is a really great way of helping a small business move things forward. I really like that approach.
Absolutely.
And so are there any projects that you will or will not fund? Is there anything specific that you will or will not fund?
So unfortunately, our loan funds cannot be used to finance a nonprofit business. So we do have to see that the business is for profit and located within Massachusetts or Rhode Island. So our restrictions would be if it were to be outside of our coverage area in a different state. But there are other organizations like ours in those states. So if there was somebody that was looking for financing, they could always reach out to us and we can try to connect them with someone in another state. And really the nonprofit's the biggest restriction for us. As long as they're a for-profit business, we look at a range of industries, whether it's a restaurant or a nail salon or a landscaping company. So we really can look at any and all industries for the most part.
Great. And as long as they're for-profit. For profit, exactly. And how does the health of a business's finances come into play when applying for funding with your organization? Are you looking for all the businesses with, you know, that perfect credit, somewhere in between? Does it matter? Talk about, you know, the health of a business's finances by the time they get to you.
Absolutely. So when it comes to, we look at it a couple of different ways, and there's a few factors that we look into when we talk about the Cs of credit. And so when we're looking at a business that has no financial history and is starting from the beginning, you know, they're ultimately putting together a business plan, financial projections, we do require a secondary source of income, which would be that either the borrower or their spouse, if married, are working and keeping their job while the business gets up and running. And the reason being is that we look at a global repayment. So that is really what sometimes allows us to look at it when a bank cannot in a startup situation, because we're not able to rely only on projections to repay the loan. So that secondary source of income helps us feel a little bit more comfortable because there's that consistent income coming in that can help support your personal bills and take on the loan while the business gets up and running. So that's a really key factor on the startup side. In terms of the business health for an existing business, we're going to be looking at everything as a big picture. You know, are the sales growing year over year? Has the business made a profit? Have they not? Just because the business has had losses doesn't mean that we can't assist. Sometimes there are items that we're looking at that can potentially be added back. Like if they're going from a lease space to an owned facility, we could add back their, you know, prior rent expense. Sometimes, you know, with interest and depreciation, or if there's an officer's compensation. So just because there's been a loss, and you know, maybe a net loss or year over year, sometimes, you know, we can still assist. So every situation is a little bit different. I think we look at the overall picture. Were there any major expenses that were one time, or, you know, what has been the overall trend year over year?
Yeah, that's all very helpful. And what is the current criteria for receiving seed funding?
Sure. So for our programs, we require a minimum credit score on your personal credit score of 600. So we'd like to see that there has not been a bankruptcy within the last 5 years. So it has to be discharged for 5 years or more if there was a historical bankruptcy. And what we're really going to focus on are the last 2 years. Have there been consistent late payments? You know, historically, have there been always a consistency of late payments? That's usually what makes us feel a little bit less comfortable, even if you were on the line of, you know, our credit requirement. So once we run credit, we're really diving into, you know, what causes the score to be where it is, you know, always asking questions as to, was there a certain life situation that happened that caused it, you know, a certain time period with late payments? But if there's just a blip here or there, you know, historically, usually we can be comfortable with that, but we're always going to ask about that. On the collateral side, which is going to be like our any type of asset that we're taking a lien on. So ideally what we look for is either a residential or commercial real estate that we would take a lien on, either in a, you know, second, third, fourth position sometimes. Or we're also taking an all business asset lien. So we'll take a UCC filing for the business. And then sometimes if we don't have the real estate that we need, we are getting, that's really where we were getting the SBA 7A guarantee, which gives us a little bit more comfortable, you know, in terms of mitigating that shortfall in collateral. On the cash flow side, we've talked about that a little bit more. We look at a global repayment. So we're looking for all of our loans, both startup and existing, under the small loan program. We look at a global repayment ability. So is there enough cash coming in on the personal side and the business side to support both your personal debt and business debt? And that's really a big, big part of it for us. Because ultimately, if we can't show repayment ability, we're going to have a hard time moving forward. And, you know, that's obviously with accounting for the new loan coming in.
Yeah.
And then on the contribution side, because these are all like the C's of credit, we do require that a startup business, you know, we like to see that they're putting in about 25% of their own money into the business. We can't finance 100% of a startup business need. But if for an existing business, if you are looking for a piece of equipment or maybe just some working capital, we can provide up to 100% financing because you've already invested in your business. And the typical rule of thumb for a business acquisition, which we do quite a bit of, it would be a 10% of your own capital to put in.
So does Seed provide any additional business resources to small businesses other than funding?
Absolutely. So that's a really big part of what we do. So although our main objective at Seed is to provide financing and guidance around financing, we are an SBA microlender, and there are other SBA resources available that provide that one-on-one technical and business assistance to entrepreneurs. So there's an organization called the Small Business Development Center. There's another organization called SCORE. And there's the Veteran Business Outreach Center, the Center for Women in Enterprise, SBA themselves, and then local chambers, of course. So we always advise that, you know, if someone is coming to us and they need assistance with their business plan or financial projections, or perhaps they're an existing business and they need help with marketing or somebody to look at their financial situation or help for expansion, we always refer to these resources. And it's a free service that's available to small businesses. Sometimes they meet virtually, sometimes they can meet in person, but there's so many resources out there available for small business that just help with the general everyday questions and business assistance. So those organizations are wonderful because most of them, SBDC and SCORE are really the most focused of that one-on-one assistance, but they all provide everyday workshops on different topics as well in a group setting.
Yeah, those organizations are so fantastic, especially because the majority of their consultants, I think all of them actually are retired executives that have a wealth of experience. Yeah. And to benefit from that at no charge is just such an amazing asset for any of these small business owners and entrepreneurs to tap into. So that married with the assistance and financing that you're providing really could be a game changer for a lot of these small businesses to get that high-powered consulting through the resources all the way to the funding. And even the Center for Women in Enterprise is a wonderful organization that not only can provide that consultative help, but it can also provide a great opportunity for networking for women-owned businesses. So it sounds like you have a really great selection of resources that you're referring your clients to. I'd like to really hear about the Lunch and Learn events that you do. And I know that you do some of them throughout the year. What are they? What types of events are they? And if someone is interested in finding the upcoming, lunch and learns that you're offering or putting them into their calendars, what can they do? So what are they like? What are some of the topics that you've done in the past? Is there anything coming up in the future? And then where do they go to find out when and where they're going to be?
Sure, absolutely. So we actually have a monthly entrepreneurial workshop that I'll get into in a little bit. But that's held on a monthly basis, and it's always the same material, and there's two sessions. But the lunch and learns are held not on a consistent basis, but every once in a while we will hold them. And this one, there's one coming up on Thursday, May 23rd, and it's in conjunction with Eastern Bank. And it's really borrowing basics for business owners. It's being held from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the West End Grill in Randolph. And all of our events that we're holding, any workshops, again, can be found on our website. So same website, www.seedcorp.com. And when you get to the webpage, there's a tab on the far right that says events. And when you click on that, all of our upcoming events will pop up and you can click on whichever one you'd like to register. The one with Eastern Bank is talking about, it can be for existing business owners or aspiring entrepreneurs, and it's in person. It is a free workshop, and we talked about the fundamentals of financing a business, what the lenders look for, and what Seed would look for, the application process, funding programs that are available to businesses, and we highlight those 6 C's of credit that I just covered, and so kind of highlighting the difference between a traditional financing and non-traditional lending options like Seed and the bank. So it's really helpful. And we can talk about a little bit about what's included in the business plan process, but it's a really great session and lunch will be provided and you can go out right to our website to register.
That sounds like a great event and so informative. So hopefully people who are listening that are interested will take advantage of that wonderful opportunity. And, I know that you have other events throughout the year. Can you share what they are? And I'm sure they can find them on the website, but what are some of those other events?
Great. Yeah. So we actually have the monthly entrepreneurial workshops I was talking about. They're typically been held virtually, even though some are held in person. So just keep an eye out if you go out to our website to notice if they will stay virtual or if they'll be at a specific location. But the one that we have coming up, they're going to be held the first session, which talks about the 6 C's of credit, the business planning, similar to the lunch and learn. That will be held from 10 until 12, 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. And Tuesday, June 11th, and it's that 2-hour session, again, free of charge. This one is virtual, so you can register on our website, and we'll send out that Zoom link to you prior to the workshop session. And then there's a second session that's held on Thursday, June 13th, Again, it's virtual. And the second session of our workshop is, it really talks about the basics of understanding financial statements. So covering the profit and loss statement, the cash flow, the balance sheet, and the personal financial statement. So we try to keep it as simple as possible just to give business owners an overview, an idea of what are these, you know, what do these documents look like? How do I complete them? Just to really familiarize themselves with the financial end of things. And again, free of charge. And, you know, they could go on and register for one or both workshops. So those workshops are held monthly. Sometimes we don't hold them in July and August just due to registration, usually being a little bit lower. But we did hold this workshop in person in March, and it was in Spanish with Bristol County Savings Bank. So that was an in-person session. But we do hold them typically on a monthly basis, and they're really helpful. We also hold quarterly workshops that are more topic specific, and that will vary. Most recently, we held one in January with Percy Law Group, where it was about legal considerations for your small business. So what we'll do is we'll partner with local organizations or consultants that have a specific topic that we'll cover. And those have typically been virtual as well. But those quarterly workshops are held, you know, four times per year, and the topic will vary as well. But those are also free of charge. And then, you know, throughout the year, we also participate on finance panels with SBA, E4All in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. We participate with the SBA's Lender Matchmaker, which we've done recently down in Barnstable that was held in April. And we participate with like the SACS 10,000 Small Business Cohort. So usually we're participating with these local organizations as part of their understanding capital or financing as well.
Yeah, all of those seem like extremely beneficial professional development opportunities, all within the space of what you're offering. So hopefully people will take advantage of those. It sounds like a wonderful opportunity. And I guess my last question.
And what's really.
Oh, go ahead, Angie.
And just one thing to add, no worries. I just wanted to add that for those workshops, what's really nice is that, especially for our monthly workshops that are held regularly, we invite all of our resource partners that are local to that area to participate with us. So there's usually a representative from SBDC, SCORE, sometimes SBA or the local chamber, so that when the you know they're signing on to the workshop, you'll get connected with these resource partners. We also talk a little bit more about what they provide. So that's a nice connection in terms of, like you mentioned, the networking part of it, and also being connected with other small business owners in the area.
That's excellent. So my last question is really, how do you work with the Small Business Administration?
Great. Yes. So great question, because sometimes it can be a little bit confusing coming in to say like who's who and how does everybody work together? So the SBA back in the day, they used to lend to borrowers directly. But what they ended up doing is changing their structure, and they use intermediary lenders like Seed as an SBA microlender. There's other microlenders in the state and microlenders nationwide. So they have a small group of SBA microlenders, which is usually a non-traditional lender like Seed, but they also have lenders. They use the local banks and credit unions to be their intermediary lenders as well for their loan programs. So SBA no longer lends directly. It's been a really long time since they've been doing that. But they're really kind of the umbrella for all of those resource partners that I mentioned and the loan programs. So they have the SBA microloan program, and then we have our own small loan funds available that are funded through state and federal grants that we lend out to borrowers as loans. And sometimes that's when we get that SBA 7A guarantee. So it's our small loan funds, but the SBA is guaranteeing that. So it's really a two-step approval process for us, one with our committee and then the second by SBA. Similar process to the SBA 504 program. So this is the funding comes from SBA on the 504 program, and this is for the purchase of owner-occupied commercial real estate or a large fixed asset for a business. And with this program, we always work with a bank. So ultimately, the bank comes in and provides up to 50% of the financing. Seed provides up to 40%, and the borrower can put down as little as 10%. And that's for them to purchase their business. or they're building for their business where they're occupying it, or to buy ultimately a large piece of equipment. So that is an SBA program that we administer as well.
Yeah, it's all great. And I'm sure that folks listening will have a lot of different options when they consider what they can take advantage of for their small businesses. And as we come to the end of today's show, one of the things that I wanted to ask you is that, is there anything that I didn't ask you or that we didn't talk about that you would really like to share with our listeners before we end today's podcast?
Well, you know, the financing process, especially on a commercial side, I think sometimes can be a little bit overwhelming when you don't really know what to expect. It's a little bit of a different process than going through a personal loan or a line of credit. There's a lot of paperwork. You know, we try to assist and provide as much hand-holding and guidance as possible because we know it can be overwhelming. The paperwork is that there's a lot that goes into it. But I think that my best advice would just to be for a small business, make sure you have that, you know, ultimately the surrounding guidance from professionals to help you mitigate through the process, you know, having your a CPA, an accountant, a business advisor, an attorney, a lender that you can feel comfortable with and work with and can help you through the process, not only when you're going through the loan financing, but down the line as your business grows and expands. Having that group of people around you is really so important. And what's great about a lot of the resource partners is even if they're meeting with you on a one-on-one basis for a specific reason, they can really stay as a mentor for you through the life of your business. So just ultimately getting that group of people that can be your support system is so important, and understanding what resources are available, take advantage of all the free workshops and guidance available can really help your business be successful.
Those are great tips, Angie, and it was such a pleasure to have you on today's show, and we so appreciate all of the information that you shared with our listeners today. It's tremendously helpful, and we thank you so much for taking the time to do so. Thank you very much.
Thank you.